Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Breaking news this noon, what we're learning about a shooting that seriously injured a woman right after daybreak in the heart of downtown Raleigh.
And I'm tracking a front that's going to bring us a little bit of light rain for Saturday morning. I'll show you when to expect it and when you can carry on with your weekend plans.
And we expect the 5-day report to be released this afternoon on a weekend shooting on Rock Quarry Road where a Raleigh police officer shot a man. Raleigh police are now investigating a possible shooting in downtown Raleigh. Hello, everyone. I'm Renee Chu.
And I'm Jeff Hogan. Thanks for joining us. Sky 5 was over that scene shortly after police responded. The shooting happened on South Salisbury Street. You can see on this map just how close that is to both Nash Square and the Wake County Justice Center. WRAL's Shelley Jackson joins us live from that scene. Shelley, what can you tell us so far?
Well, I want to show you it's still a very active police scene out here. In the past hour, detectives have shown up. They are focusing their attention on this white convertible BMW. You can see it down the street. Now, detectives have recently started pulling out some of the items from the car, tagging and bagging them. There's a big pile of clothing beside the car. A witness sent us video earlier today showing us EMS working on a person that appeared to be in the passenger side. So they have just been going all over the car, putting up the top and taking it down, looking at it very thoroughly. Now, Raleigh police say they responded to a person shot here on Salisbury a little after 9 o'clock this morning. It was a woman and she was taken to the hospital. According to Broadcastify Radio Traffic, she was shot in the chest. Now, recently, RPD has started to beef up patrols in the area after people who live and work here have been complaining about crime in the area. Today, we had a chance to talk to people who do live and work in the area. They say they did not hear any shots fired or any kind of commotion out here. And right now, police say that there is no threat to anyone in the area, but we are working to learn more about what exactly happened out here and who this victim was. Jeff?
Shelley Jackson, live for us in downtown Raleigh as that investigation continues. Thank you.
We're expecting to learn more about what led a Raleigh police officer to shoot someone on Rock Quarry Road. Three other people were also hurt at the scene Saturday night. Police initially said they would release a 5-day report on the incident around noon, but that release has been pushed back. Raleigh police received a call about gunshots on Rock Quarry Road Saturday night. An officer saw a man with a gun in a parking lot when they started investigating. That officer shot the man. Police did not provide a lot of details as to what led to that shooting, but they confirmed three more people were found shot at the scene. There's been an uptick in crime in that area. WRAL data trackers looked at the numbers. Crime is up 2,700% over the past 5 years in that section of Rock Quarry Road. We'll let you know what's in the report as soon as we receive and review it.
A UNC Chapel Hill student faces serious charges in the single car crash that killed a fellow student last month. Now WRAL has learned another UNC student faces charges related to this investigation. WRAL's Monica Casey is live in Orange County with what we know so far about this. Monica.
Yeah, Jeff, we came here to the Orange County Courthouse in Hillsborough to get the paperwork for that second student who has been charged, but we're told he has not been served, so that's not public yet. Chapel Hill police say Zachary O'Brien Rice faces charges of driving after consuming alcohol, possession of alcohol under the age of 21, and speeding. The Zachary Rice listed in the police release has the same hometown and birthday, matching a player on the UNC football team. A past speeding charge for Rice last year also lists him as a football player. This is where that deadly crash happened, the intersection of Raleigh Road and West Barbie Chapel Hill Road in late January. We have learned that police are looking into racing as a possible cause of the crash. UNC student Flamija Brewer faces multiple charges, including death by vehicle, driving while impaired, and speeding. The crash report says Brewer was driving 124 miles per hour in a 45 mile per hour zone. The young woman who died in that crash was named Mary Rotunda. She was a UNC Chapel Hill student. Her obituary says she was from Greensboro and she was studying human development and family science. Jeff?
Terrible tragedy there. And Monica Casey live for us with that information in Hillsboro. Thank you. There is new information now about a shooting last night in Goldsboro. Police confirm one person is in the hospital right now with critical injuries. Officers responded to a ShotSpotter alert on Hollowell Avenue and found a person there with a gunshot wound. So far, there have been no arrests and the investigation continues.
The state health department has removed all children from a Western North Carolina wilderness therapy camp and stopped all camp admissions after a 12-year-old boy died at the site. The Transylvania County Sheriff's Office says the boy was from New York. The Trails Carolina Camp is described as a wilderness therapy program for kids and teens ages 10 to 17 who struggle with mental health challenges. The boy arrived at the camp on February 2nd and was assigned a cabin with four other campers and four adult staff members. The next day, on February 3rd, first responders were called for reports of a child not breathing. Firefighters performed CPR, but stopped because they found the boy had been, quote, dead for some time. Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny has died in prison following a years-long struggle against official corruption and President Vladimir Putin's government that saw him survive several poisoning attempts. Richard Engel reports Navalny's death throws suspicion squarely on the Russian president.
Alexei Navalny seemed relatively healthy even just a few days ago. He posted on Instagram a Valentine's note to his wife saying that even though they were separated by thousands of miles, that he felt close to her and loved her more and more. And now, according to prison officials in Russia, he is dead. Alexei Navalny was the most powerful, most prominent, most popular opposition figure in Russia, even behind bars. He was a fearless critic of Vladimir Putin, an anti-corruption campaigner, someone who was not shy to name names and to expose corrupt practices of Russian oligarchs, all of the inner circle around Vladimir Putin. And he'd been arrested many times. He was poisoned in 2020 with Novichok, which is a very powerful nerve agent. He miraculously survived that. He was treated in Germany. And then after recovering in 2021, he decided to go back to Russia. He didn't want to be an opposition figure living in exile. He wanted to be in the country. He was arrested. He was moved between prisons, and his conditions continued to get worse until he was ultimately at this prison in Siberia, where, according to prison officials, he took a walk this morning, suddenly started feeling unwell, collapsed, and died despite attempts to revive him after he had lost consciousness. There are many people already expressing great skepticism about that official series of events. Here in Ukraine, the President Zelensky said that it's obvious that Vladimir Putin had Navalny killed because Vladimir Putin doesn't care who dies, but that he wants to stay in power. And that is the same sentiment we're hearing from Navalny's aides, who haven't confirmed his death yet, but they say if it is true, that it is not a matter of Navalny dying in prison, but of Vladimir Putin having killed him.
As Richard Engel reporting there, and there's been strong response from around the world regarding that, including the United States.
Yeah, we'll certainly continue to follow that story that broke this morning. A cold front crosses our area early tomorrow morning.
And Elizabeth Gardner is on the WRL weather patio right now with a look at the timeline for Saturday. Showers, Elizabeth.
Watching this front, there's a lot of snow with this on the northern end of it, but all of that will be to our north. We're not going to end up seeing any of that here. We are looking at the potential to see some isolated showers as we get this front moving up past our area late tonight, early tomorrow. So we'll take a look at Futurecast and push that ahead, and we'll see exactly what time we'll likely see a little bit of this rain. It's going to continue to cruise on just right by our viewing area, and when it does, it will help to bring us that chance of some patchy rain across our area. We're likely to see very little of it actually showing up in the rain gauges. This is going to move in very early Saturday morning. We'll end up seeing it probably around 5 to 7 a.m. And then once it moves on by, we'll end up seeing some nice conditions for the latter part of the day. If you have plans outside, again, expect some light rain before 8 a.m. At lunchtime, it'll be breezy and cool and then turning chilly on Saturday evening. And Sunday's going to be fairly cool as well. I'll show you what those temperatures look like for the weekend, mostly in the 50s. We'll talk more about that coming up.
Take a look at stocks on this Friday as we close out this week of trading on Wall Street. And there are some stocks in negative territory, certainly. Dow Jones Industrial Average included among them. You see it all morning long. It's down 18 points, so marginally down as things stand right now. S&P 500 is also down. S&P 500 just ticked up 2 points right now. NASDAQ is down 29 at noon.
We expect a verdict today in former President Trump's civil fraud trial. He could be hit with millions of dollars in penalties in New York. The judge in that case has already found that Trump and his executives engaged in fraud. He now needs to decide on the issue of intent and what penalties Trump and his company should pay. It could be a $370 million fine and a lifetime ban from the real estate industry in New York. Trump has denied any wrongdoing. We're hearing more about how a victory celebration turned into a nightmare for Kansas City Chiefs fans.
I've been through some traumatizing things that that changed my life, and this is probably the worst.
Coming up, witnesses share firsthand accounts of the traumatic shooting during the Super Bowl rally.
Also, astonishing new video may help answer questions about an 80-year-old shipwreck on one of the Great Lakes.
Plus, one tourist was excited to see a moose until the encounter got far too close for comfort. Find out what happened next.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air, Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.
Happening right now in the WRAL Live Center, following some breaking news, West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin says he will not be running for president. He made the announcement in a speech at West Virginia University, saying, "I will not be seeking a third-party run. I will not be involved in a presidential run." He has criticized President Biden in the past for being too liberal, but also said that he would refuse to be part of any effort to help Donald Trump return to the White House. He also announced back in November that he will not be seeking a third full Senate term this fall.
Michelle, thanks for that. Today we're hearing from witnesses who were very close to the gunshots that rang out following the Kansas City Chiefs victory parade. One person was killed, 22 others were hurt in Kansas City, Missouri on Valentine's Day. A popular local radio DJ who went by the name Lisa Lopez Galvan was killed. Her son was also shot but survived. Two juveniles are in custody, and officers believe this all started over an argument. One woman who was near the stage says when the shooting began, she pushed her 13-year-old daughter to the ground.
I saw the shooter because he was like that, and my daughter was screaming.
So you saw someone with a gun?
Oh, yeah, I saw the guns.
The youngest shooting victim at the event was 8 years old. According to Gun Violence Archives, Wednesday's shooting was the 48th mass shooting of four or more people.
An FBI informant has been charged with making up a multi-million dollar bribery scheme involving Hunter Biden. The claim is a key point in the Republican impeachment inquiry into President Biden. Alexander Smirnov is charged with creating false records and lying about the Biden's involvement in business dealings with a Ukrainian energy company. Smirnov was arrested yesterday in Las Vegas. The document alleges the story told by Smirnov to federal investigators was fabricated. Egypt is building a miles-wide buffer zone and border wall along the Gaza border. Satellite images show significant bulldozing in the area. Videos from Sinai Foundation for Human Rights show a 16-foot-high border wall, reportedly commissioned by Egyptian armed forces. Concerns are growing over a humanitarian situation in Gaza and a potential mass exodus over Egypt's border.
Cases of Lyme disease are up in the U.S. Health officials say the spike is because of a change in reporting requirements, not an explosion of new infections. The latest numbers out from the CDC yesterday show reported cases jumped nearly 70% in 2022, an increase from roughly 37,000 cases per year to more than 62,000. Lyme disease is the most common tick-borne infection in the U.S. People infected typically experience fever, headaches, and a skin rash. Two popular diabetes medications that are also used for weight loss got more expensive this year. Novo Nordisk increased the price of a month's supply of Ozempic by 3.5% when used for diabetes. The company said it is due to changes in the healthcare system and inflation. Eli Lilly increased the price of its drug Mounjaro by 4.5% for a month's supply. But neither company increased the prices of the drugs when used for weight loss.
New images from the depths of Lake Superior could hold the clues to a decades-old mystery. Researchers unearthed a commercial steamboat that mysteriously sank to the bottom of Lake Superior back in 1940. The boat hit thick fog. Despite warnings to stay close to shore to avoid heavy winds, Captain Frederick Burke ordered the boat to remain in open water. And that's when the fog turned into an intense storm, causing the boat to go down. All 16 crewmen abandoned ship and survived. But Captain Burke decided to go down with the ship. No one knew why. That's a secret that may lie at the bottom of Lake Superior forever. But this underwater drone video may help researchers answer other questions, like the names of all the crewmen.
So there's still people in Midland, Ontario, and that was the ship's home port, that probably have descendants that were on that wreck. 16 people got off of that ship. What did they go on to do in their lives?
For now, the ship will remain at that same resting place where it's been for the last 8 decades.
A Michigan man went on a ski trip with his friends hoping to see a moose. He got more than he bargained for when one started chasing them down the slope. Watch this as Ken Reinerson yelled at people beside him and in front of him as the moose followed them. Skiers and snowboarders weaved in and out around it, trying to avoid crashing into it. For more than 2 minutes, you can hear Ken and his friends yelling as that moose cruised downhill with them.
So one of my goals was to see a moose and get hopefully a video or at least a photo. And I got it all.
And then some. That moose eventually veered off the trail and ran away. No one was hurt. The friends sure got what they were looking for. They're smiling to tell the story.
Yeah, the moose on the loose was really fast. Faster than the skiers.
Way faster, yeah. Downhill, too.
Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner is on the WRL weather patio. Elizabeth, the gray skies out there matches the patio.
It does, doesn't it? At least you have a little bit of green back here behind me. The grass is looking pretty. And, you know, actually, there are a few things blooming back there. Our gardeners out here are absolutely amazing. There's always something blooming. It's absolutely beautiful. We're also taking a look there in Wake Forest, and we have gray skies really all across the viewing area right now. But our temperatures are not too bad. It feels comfortable in a sweater. I'm fine without having a jacket on out here. Our temperature right now is 60 degrees. That's not bad. We hit mid-60s yesterday. We'll probably stop about 61, 62 in the Triangle area. Our dew point is 18, and that is low. That means we have a very dry air mass in place. And that's one of the reasons that we're not likely to see a whole lot of rain tomorrow. The very little bit that comes in, a lot of that's going to evaporate before it reaches the ground. We take a look at temperatures across our area. It is 60 in Goldsboro, 57 in Southern Pines, 59 in Clinton. It's 52 up in Roxboro. So it feels fine out there. We're going to see a little bit of a breeze today, too. Our wind is coming out of the northeast right now, and eventually tomorrow it moves out of the northwest. That's going to help to drop our temperatures for tomorrow. But we have steady winds in the Triangle at about 10, and we're gusting to around 20 miles per hour. We'll see that on and off for the rest of the day. Lots of cloud cover is streaming in from the west right now, and you can see that's what's with us ahead of our system. Around town today, expect temperatures to be in the upper 50s to low in mid-60s. I think we'll most likely hit mid-60s there in Fayetteville for this afternoon. Here's a look at our big picture, and you can see the satellite and radar view. There's snow to the north of that low, and there's rain to the south of the low. We're going to see that rain to the south slipping in here and bring us that chance of some showers. It's, you know, there are winter weather advisories, winter storm watches in effect for parts of the northeast with this system. Doesn't look like it's going to be terribly heavy, probably, you know, on the order of 2 to 4 inches. That's enough to, you know, cause some issues, but not enough to shut things down for a long period of time. Here's a look at Futurecast. We start things cloudy now. We'll see cloudy skies throughout the rest of the afternoon and into the evening. I'll pause it right there, which is midnight tonight. And you can see that rain along the Virginia line. If you're in southern Virginia, you'll likely see a little bit of rain overnight tonight from midnight up until around 3 or 4 a.m. But for most of us, we'll see this quick band that moves through between, say, 4 and 6. And then after that, it's pretty much over. You can see how quickly this skies start to clear. We're beginning to see some clearing by 8 a.m. And we'll see clearing through the afternoon. Winds shifting to northwesterly, and that will draw in some colder air that we'll end up seeing for the weekend. We're looking at just that tiny chance of rain on Saturday. Other than that, it looks like a nice holiday weekend with sunshine Saturday afternoon, as well as Sunday and Monday. Just going to be cooler behind that front. 56 is our normal high. We'll be looking at 51 on Saturday, 52 on Sunday, but we are back to warmer temperatures next week. If you don't mind getting out and running in the chilly temperatures, Cupid's Run at 2 o'clock on Saturday doesn't look too bad. It'll be partly cloudy by that point. That rain is not going to stick around. For President's Day itself, looking at 59, and then we climb into the 60s, almost 70 degrees for Thursday. Coming up, we're going to take a closer look at where some of the snow is going to be with this system. Not right here, but fairly close to us, and talk about how much rain we'll actually see in the rain gauges early Saturday morning.
All right, Elizabeth, thanks. North Carolina's carbon emissions are down, but experts say the state is not on track to meet climate goals. Liz McLaughlin breaks down the biggest clean energy roadblocks tonight at 5:45.
And people working at the Durham Social Services Building complain of headaches, fatigue, even fainting. Tonight at 6, WRL investigates what's making those employees sick. And straight ahead this noon, name brands are falling out of fashion with a lot of American consumers. We'll explain how places like Target are capitalizing on that trend.
And you may have noticed gas prices recently shot up, way up. What's behind that surge and why there's some good news on the horizon?
If you filled up your gas tank this week, you probably have noticed it costs you more. The price of a gallon of gas went up 12 cents over the past week to reach a national average of $3.27. It may have come as a bit of a shock since prices haven't moved more than a few cents over the past few months. The good news is the reason should be only temporary. Highly influencing prices right now is the shutdown of a massive BP refinery in Indiana. It's been offline for more than 2 weeks due to a power outage. That should be fixed soon, and then gas prices will likely go back to moving at a more predictable pace.
More and more Americans are ditching name brands for store brands just to make every penny count. And it's all playing out on social media. NBC's Christine Romans explains why some people are embracing so-called dupes.
Inflation-weary shoppers are chasing cheap and bragging about it.
I'm just not paying Tyson prices if I don't have to.
Their waffles are a dollar cheaper than Eggo's.
They're being called dupes, less expensive alternatives or private labels. And the social media generation loves them.
Elf is in their dupe era.
Let's compare a $5 Stanley Cup dupe to the real thing.
It's kind of flipping the script on our parents' generation keeping up with the Joneses. This is buying an inexpensive thing to keep up and be cool.
Exactly. It's an interesting flip of the script. With the levels of inflation that we've been dealing with in the last few years, this is a clear response to that kind of economic pressure.
After years of higher prices and shrinking packaging, consumers now have the upper hand, and retailers know it. Target this week expanding its store brand of items that sell for less than name brands to more than 2,000 items. Chinese super discount retailer Temu running three Super Bowl ads to reach consumers who are just sick of high prices. Companies acknowledging their customers' weariness. Coke and McDonald's reporting sales fell after they raised prices. So did Kraft Heinz.
The consumers are looking for better value in all the choices they're making.
Newly frugal consumers may slow price hikes, but economists say don't expect prices to go back down to pre-pandemic levels, as deflation would be an economic headache of a different kind. Christine Romans, NBC News, New York.
The release of a five-day report on an incident where a Raleigh police officer shot a man has been delayed.
When we expect that report to be released this afternoon and what we've learned so far.
Also ahead, a fender bender blinded a woman in one eye. She blames her sunglasses, what she's doing to make eyewear safer for other drivers.
And here's a look at the winning lottery numbers. We'll be right back.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
A five-day police report about a weekend incident on Rock Quarry Road is expected to be released later today. The report will detail what police say happened when they shot a man.
WRL's Destiny Patterson joins us live in Raleigh with what we know so far about that area. Destiny.
Jeff, Renee, we're expecting to learn a lot more about what happened in this parking lot on Saturday over the weekend. Just within the last 20 minutes, I talked to the property owner here. She says that no one actually occupies these businesses except for a pop-up restaurant over the weekend, which might explain why there were people here in the first place. If you take a look at this video here, you can see what that scene was like over the weekend. Raleigh police say that they were initially coming for a shots fired call, and an officer says that they saw a man with a gun in the parking lot, and the officer shot that man. Police confirmed three more people were found at the scene as well. WRAL data trackers looked at the numbers and found police calls are up 2,700% over the past 5 years. The property owner says she's actually working to revitalize this area. Again, we're expecting to get that five-day report sometime today, and we'll know a lot more about the details of what police say happened here. Renee.
Destiny Patterson, live in Raleigh. Thank you.
New at noon, NC State University police say they have identified a man who entered a campus library with a gun in his backpack this week. It happened Tuesday. Staff was told about an older man who set off the metal detector at D.H. Hill Library. When stopped, he said he had a gun in his backpack, and then he left, and officers couldn't find him. Police now tell us he did not commit a criminal offense, but due to his uncooperative actions and statement that he had a gun, an investigation was done. Investigators made contact with him today around 11 a.m., and the man has been banned from campus. If he returns to campus, he'll be arrested for second-degree trespass.
A reminder, early voting for the March 5th primary is underway, and you can cast your early vote until March 2nd. There have been some changes to voting law since the last time you cast your ballot. Make sure you have your driver's license or another form of photo ID. If you're voting absentee by mail, you must include a photocopy of your ID or explain why you don't have one. Also, you'll probably see more partisan poll watchers in the voting areas. They are allowed to move around more than they used to. To learn more about the candidates on your ballot for the March 5th primary and where you can vote, check out the WRAL Voter Guide. You can find it on WRAL.com and on the WRAL News app.
Our county-by-county coverage takes us to Wayne, Orange, and Moore counties. In Wayne County, the Goldsboro Fire Department will dedicate a new fire engine. Engine 2 has a tank that can hold 450 gallons of water and foam. The push-in ceremony takes place today at 3 o'clock at Station 2, located at 1901 Royal Avenue. This weekend, you can grab your binoculars and join the town of Carrboro for the Great Backyard Bird Count. It's a free, fun, easy event that engages bird watchers of all ages. This three-day event helps create a snapshot of bird populations. Visit the Facebook page for the town of Carrboro for more information. And in Moore County, the Carolina Horse Park's annual Painted Ponies Art Walk is underway. The ponies are on display throughout Broad Street and Southern Pines until April 2nd. It takes artists about 2 months to design and create each sculpture, and they usually follow a theme. An online auction will be held for buyers to bid on the ponies April 6th.
A chance for you to achieve the dream of owning a home. Neighborhood Assistance Corporation of America is holding a home buyer event at Shaw University this weekend. This is video from a similar event in New Jersey. It can help low to moderate income home buyers with getting a mortgage. NACA offers one mortgage with no down payment, no closing costs, and no fees. Doors are open from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. for the next 3 days at the Willie E. Gary Ballroom on Shaw University's campus. You'll be able to attend a workshop, meet with a counselor and underwriter. Today, we'll find out which Triangle University is at the top of the eSports League. Students from NC State, UNC, and Duke will compete in an eSports competition this afternoon from 1 to 3. The event is hosted by Lenovo, and it's happening at the company's North American headquarters in Morrisville. Players will compete for the first time on the company's mobile esports unit. The unit will help universities without existing esports facilities to host competitions on campus.
The start of the 20th century was a time when racial discrimination reached far beyond the political spectrum. Many black theatergoers sought to escape from their reality. Carolina Theater in Durham opened in 1926 as the Durham Auditorium. It was the only theater in town to admit African Americans, but the theater was still segregated. In 1962, black patrons started a movement called Round Robin to try to change that. It included trying to buy tickets at the whites-only window and then getting back in line when they were turned away. Coming up tonight at 5:55, hear from one of the men who was part of that movement and how it helped to usher in change in Durham. A Georgia woman says she lost her right eye in a fender bender, and she blames her sunglasses. Coming up, what she is doing now to prevent what happened to her from happening to someone else.
And later, an Australian businessman is organizing a new international sports event. What makes it so very controversial? A Georgia woman lost an eye just 3 months before her wedding. It happened in a car accident when the airbag deployed and shattered her sunglasses.
Caitlin Ross reports now that woman is advocating for safer lenses.
Getting in the car is getting easier for Hannah Oliver.
At first, it was very stressful. It was a lot of anxiety.
Anxiety about what she's missing.
You, right here. I can't see you.
And what she's lost.
I actually have no depth perception.
Really?
Don't get nervous.
Her easy smile and her sunglasses covering the hard truth of her accident.
It's excruciating pain, like the worst pain I've ever felt in my life.
Wearing sunglasses when she got into a minor fender bender on South Cobb Drive.
As soon as the airbag hit my eye, it literally shattered into pieces.
Airbags deploy at a speed of 200 miles an hour with a force of up to 2,000 pounds. That's an impact most sunglasses just can't withstand.
Hannah lost her right eye just 3 months before her wedding, finding the courage to talk about it online.
When a video goes viral, it's like, do-do-do-do-do.
My airbag came out, hit my precious designer sunglasses, and they shattered into a million pieces.
She found out she wasn't alone.
I've connected with hundreds of people that have lost their eye the same exact way. People have lost their eye through sunglasses, and it's because we're not making them safer.
I've got a pair here.
Safety is something optometrist Frank Winsky thinks about a lot. The eye doctor says anyone getting behind the wheel with glasses or sunglasses should have polycarbonate lenses in the frame.
It's basically shatterproof, where it'll take a significant impact and not break.
The polycarbonate material is more expensive than glass or plastic, but tested rigorously for safety.
What I could only find was like sporting sunglasses or like fishing sunglasses, but I am a girl's girl. And that was not going to work for me.
Hannah set out to create both, designing her own sunglass line.
100% protective is what I say, but also stylish.
With shatter-resistant polycarbonate lenses.
We shouldn't have to think about it when we put sunglasses on our face that we might have to lose our eyesight, that we might be partially blind or blind because of something that we're wearing on our face.
Hannah thinks polycarbonate lenses should be mandated. It's standard for kids' glasses, but after turning 18, it's an upcharge to get the stronger material in a lens.
If that would have been a law, like I would have my vision right now. You would be in the car with a driver that has two eyes and not one.
Now she's driven to use what she does have for good.
I feel like this happened for me for a reason, and I feel like I can be a voice and change things. And I hope through my story that I can change the eyewear industry.
It's Caitlin Ross reporting, and we understand it can be tricky to spot those polycarbonate lenses when you're buying a new pair.
You can search for a tag attached to the glasses that lists material, but the information is not always included. Think about all the times you're driving and you're wearing sunglasses. An Australian businessman says he's creating, quote, the Olympics of the future, one in which all the athletes will be using performance-enhancing drugs.
This is exactly the promise of performance medicine technology.
So just ahead, how the man behind the so-called enhanced games justifies that something that usually sparks outrage in the world of competitive international sports. Leave it to him. Imagine watching a sporting event where every player is on performance-enhancing drugs. That may seem like a wild concept, but it could become a reality in the near future.
Gary Baumgarten takes a look at what's behind the concept and why it's gaining traction.
With the countdown to the Summer Olympics on, a different kind of sporting event, one that will let athletes openly use performance-enhancing drugs, is also hoping to turn heads. Called the Enhanced Games, its president says it's time to let athletes maximize their potential with substances banned by the World Anti-Doping Agency.
44% of Olympians, according to the Olympics' own research, have used banned performance-enhancing drugs, yet only 1% get caught.
The Enhanced Games will start with individual athletes competing for their own personal glory in several core sports. Officials hope allowing people to use drugs will make the games more exciting to watch and even let athletes nearing retirement extend their careers.
This is exactly the promise of performance medicine technology, to enable athletes to regain those extra few years.
Finding people willing to compete, however, wasn't easy. But the tides are turning after retired world champion Australian swimmer James Magnussen said he would take performance-enhancing drugs to try and break a 50-meter sprint world record. The one condition? Magnussen will only do it for $1 million. Officials say all eligible athletes will be paid a base salary to compete in the Enhanced Games and will earn more money should they place first, second, or third. The games are aiming to start in December or around the middle of next year.
That was Gary Baumgarten reporting. D'Souza says there will be clinical control of the athletes as they prepare for events to ensure safety.
But Travis Tigert from the U.S. Anti-Doping Agency last year described the Enhanced Games as, quote, a dangerous clown show. I guess folks have their price, though.
Sure. And I'm wondering who would be interested in watching that, because part of the allure of the Olympics is seeing ordinary people do extraordinary things. And when you know that they're taking the performance-enhancing drugs?
Yeah, it takes it to a different level.
It certainly does.
There's no doubt. Elizabeth Gardner is out on the WRL weather patio right now, taking us to our weekend weather-wise.
You know, it's cloudy out here, but it feels fine. I'm comfortable in a sweater. Short sleeves would be a little bit much. Temperature is about 60 degrees, but I'm fine without a coat out here. We take a look around the area. We have a live look at Goldsboro, of course, Fayetteville, right there at our newsroom on Hay Street. We've got Apex and Chapel Hill, courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant. Everybody's, you know, out enjoying a pleasant Friday, even though it's just not quite as sunny as it was yesterday. We've had breezy conditions all week. We had some stronger winds earlier in the week. We're looking at winds coming out of the west right now at about 10 steady, 9 to 10 steady, and gusting in the Triangle area up to about 20 miles per hour. It's not much. Standing right here on the patio, looking around at the trees and the azalea gardens, everything is nice and still right now. So wind is not something that's going to be a major issue for us today. We're seeing mostly cloudy skies, and you can see on Futurecast, you can watch the clouds up as we get into the evening. And watching that band of rain again, most of the rain that we see this evening is going to be up near the Virginia line, but gradually we're going to see a quick little band that affects the bulk of the viewing area between about 5 a.m. and about 7 a.m. After that, we're going to start to see our skies clearing on Saturday, leaving behind some sunshine, but also some cooler temperatures. Our winds will shift to northwesterly. That's going to draw in some cooler air. So we're back to low 50s. Still going to be, you know, a beautiful afternoon Saturday and Sunday, but it'll just be a little on the cooler side. Our chance of rain on Saturday is only at 20%, so this is not going to be a big issue for us. As a matter of fact, we take a look at our Futurecast rainfall, and hardly anything comes up as we roll through this. Big changes over the last day or two. Initially, it looked like we might see a tenth of an inch, which, again, it's a tenth of an inch. It's not much, but we're down to almost zero in terms of anything in the rain gauges. And for our part of North Carolina, we're at a big zero for snow, and we have been all year with none in our forecast. So we can live vicariously just to our west and just to our north. Here's a look at our snowfall potential with this system. Notice along the spine of the mountains, it looks like we could see an inch, maybe 2 inches in some of the higher elevations. But the darker blue area up in West Virginia and Virginia is going to be anywhere from 2 to 4, maybe even 6 inches in a few places up into the mountains. So it should be a really good ski weekend. We take a live look at some of the cameras. They've been making snow, even though we've had a few warm spells. Everything's looking good. Beach Mountain, Sugar Mountain, Appalachian, and then Winter Places up in West Virginia. Of all of them, Winter Places looking a little bit thin there in terms of snow, but it's going to be a good weekend. Cold temperatures, temperatures up in Boone for highs are going to be 33, and up at Grandfather Mountain 29. So plenty cold enough for making snow and holding on to snow in the mountains on Saturday and Sunday. And we should see some sunshine for both afternoons. Going to be a chilly weekend at the coast. Our high temperatures will be in the mid to upper 50s for the most part, but we should see plenty of sunshine. We take a look at Sunday, a little bit cooler, more like mid 40s to near 50. And of course, for us around here, we're looking at 55 Saturday, 54 Sunday, and 61 on Monday. Actually, it's going to be, 51 Saturday, 52 Sunday. But we do warm back up into the 60s by next week, looking at almost 70 by next Thursday. How about that?
About it. Thanks, Elizabeth. The debate rages on about which U.S. city has the best pizza.
Coming up, we'll tell you which city has the most expensive pizza. Find out how much you'll have to pay for a pie there. Welcome back. A live look at Zebulon's Town Hall. We see gray skies out there. We should stay dry for much of the day, but then rain will be moving in later tonight and into tomorrow morning. As we wrap things up, here's a look at a few of the headlines we're following for you today.
Raleigh detectives are investigating a shooting that sent a woman to the hospital. Sky 5 flew over that scene in the 200 block of Salisbury Street just after 9 o'clock this morning. Officers have not released the woman's name or condition. Investigators say there's no threat to the public.
We're waiting for Raleigh police to release the 5-day report of a shooting on Rock Quarry Road. An officer shot a man on Rock Quarry Road around 10:30 Saturday night. RPD indicated that they would release that report around noon. That timetable has now been pushed back. Watch for live reports here on WREL and online.
Two UNC students are charged in a deadly crash that killed another UNC student. It happened last month in Chapel Hill on Raleigh Road and West Barbie Chapel Road. Officers say Flamija Brewer was driving 145 miles per hour in a 45 mile per hour zone when the car rolled and landed on its roof. Zachary Rice is also charged in the crash. His birthday and hometown matches that of a member of the UNC football team.
Tickets went on sale today for a John Legend's concert at Cary's Cocobooth Amphitheater. An evening with John Legend is scheduled for August 11th. The show is described as a special solo performance featuring songs and stories with Legend. The debate over which city has the best pizza might never come to an end, but new research